Hi there, and welcome to episode 2 of Earth Mother Knits podcast. Today is the 31st of October 2012, which is Halloween, so happy Halloween everyone. Today is also the day that my sister is due to give birth, so no sign of that occurring yet. Bless her, I'm sure she's sick of her life. But with her last child, she went 12 days over, so here's hoping there's not that much of a slog ahead of her. Now, last time I recorded, I promised that I'd record again on the Monday. I'm afraid I'm a couple of days late for that one. I'd like to make excuses, but it'll become clear why I've been neglecting my podcasting duties later on. It's mainly to do with me being a massive geek. I'd like to welcome all our new listeners. Hello there. Thank you for joining the podcast group and enjoying the podcast, I hope. Any comments and feedback are perfectly welcome, so I'd like to hear what you think. And here's hoping I get some feedback. So, today I'm going to talk about my baby shower, which happened on Sunday. Today is Wednesday, so it's been 4 days since that. Never been to a baby shower before in my life, so it was quite an illuminating experience for me. My very good friend Tori was hosting it, because she's lovely, and she opened a house to us, God bless her, and she was stressing out to the bejesus. Probably having a house full of my family would stress anyone out. But yes, it was really good fun. We played a few games, lots and lots of food, and then we opened lots and lots of presents, which was really, really great. So, the games we played were really funny, although I did refuse to take part in one, because it kind of required me getting down on the floor. So I was just like, I'd never get back up again. I'll let you guys play with that one. But yeah, so there was the teddy bear changing one. Everyone had to compete to see who could put a nappy on a teddy bear, who we named Arthur, the fastest, and the winner got a box of chocolates. And it was really, really funny actually, because my elder sister looks after my nephew quite often, so she didn't have much competition up until the point where Tori stepped up and beat her by 5 seconds. So Caroline did it in 19 seconds and Tori did it in 14, and she doesn't have as much experience with changing nappies as Caroline does, so I'm pretty sure they're going to have a celebrity death match or something to reckon that one out again. The other games that we played a one where they got a tape measure that said, like, guess the baby's length on it, and it must have been like 6 meters long or something, the amount of tape that they had on there. But everyone had to guess how big my bump is, and then they all got to write their names on their tapes and then compare to my belly. And when they were all doing it and they were all pulling out the tapes, I was like, oh my god, do you really think I'm that fat? Oh my god, that's so insulting. And then when they actually held up the tapes against my belly, most of them had cut them too short, and I was just like, oh no, I'm far too fat. So yes, it was rather funny. I think Tori's mum won that one, actually. Owen, who, by the way, cannot change a nappy. But she owns a dressmaking shop. Well, a wedding shop that sells wedding dresses, so she's used to measuring up women, and she probably just looked at me and went, huge! Which I can't blame her for. Yes, the food was brilliant. I baked 2 cakes. I baked a couple of sponge cakes. One was just regular Victoria sponge with jam and lots of cream. And the other one was just a chocolate sponge with lots and lots of cream, because my sister Katie does not like jam, so I made that one for her specially. My sisters also cooked for me. I have 3 sisters. There's Katie, Caroline and Hayley. And Caroline and Hayley baked me a Jaffa cake cheesecake, which was phenomenal. It was awesome. I absolutely loved it. It was so good, because I've got a little addiction to Jaffa cakes through this pregnancy, as has Katie. But I really don't think it's because of the pregnancy. I just think it's because Jaffa cakes are awesome. So, yes, Jaffa Cake cheesecake blew my mind. And my sister Katie baked me lots of cookies. And they didn't really get touched because everyone was too busy eating all the cakes and eating the fromage quiche that my friend Sophie made. So when it came to time to leave, I just took all the cookies. And then me and Lee ate them all last night, which was quite incredible because there must have been about 8. So I think he ate about 6 of them and I had about 2. But yes, it was really awesome. The food was great. And next comes Prezzies. I got so many pretty things. It was just so lovely. Katie bought me some bath salts and some smellies and a little snowman onesie for the baby with a little bib that has the snowman on it from the cartoon The Snowman. And it says walking on the air because obviously the baby's due on Christmas Eve, so Christmas baby. So yeah, that made me go a little bit squishy on the inside. And I have to say, there's one present that just completely blew me away. I was just totally and utterly like, oh my god, that's so lovely. And it was my very good friend Sophie, who is French. And she seems to have just gone, right, I'm French, I'm buying lots of French things. And it was adorable. She, months and months and months ago, she entered a competition, because she's one of my knitting friends, to knit a little sheep. And you had to knit it to the pattern and then put a photo of it in to see who would win. And little Stevie the sheep did not win. It was a big shame. But on the plus side, I got to keep Stevie the sheep for my little baby. So I have a little baby sheep that was knitted in beautiful, beautiful yarn, and he's currently sat in the baby's crib waiting for the baby to arrive, and it's so cute. He sat on Arthur's knee, Arthur being the teddy bear that we were changing. She also bought a little giraffe toy, and I've never seen one of these before, but apparently it's a tradition in France that whenever a baby's born, you buy them this toy. And it's like a little giraffe called Sophie the giraffe, which made me smile, and it squeaks and it's all squishy and it's all beautiful, and I want to take it out of the box and start just like playing with it, but I know I'm not allowed. And she also, in that little bag of tricks, bought a little outfit for the baby. And it's a little French person outfit. It's so cute. It's a little pair of jeans and a little white and blue stripy top and a little pair of red Mary Janes as well. So all I need is a little red beret for the baby, and then she's got a full little French outfit so that she can match Sophie. It was absolutely brilliant and I was just totally blown away by it. I got loads of other stuff as well, but that present was just utterly adorable. It just made me want to keel over with the cuteness of it. All the other presents were lovely too, of course, and thank you for them. If anyone who was there is listening, they are beautiful, and Lee was totally blown away by it as well. When I got home and showed him everything, he was just totally amazed. So thank you so much for my gifts, everyone. So moving on from the baby shower, I thought I'd tell you a little bit about preparations for the baby arriving and tell you about the baby's room. I do have some photos of before and after, because we conglomerated two libraries into one in our house. So what used to be Lee's DVD room is going to be the baby's room, which is the box room that backs onto our bedroom. And all of Lee's DVDs moved into my craft room, which is also my library with all of my books in it. So conglomerated all of those things together, and now have a lot less space in my craft room than I used to, but it's okay, because the baby's room is looking absolutely amazing. I will put some photos up, if anyone's interested, in the Ravelry group, and hopefully on the podcast page if I can fit them in there. And yeah, it just looks amazing. We've been decorating, we've got the walls done, we just need to buy the carpet and the curtains and a lampshade, and then it's all ready for her arrival, and I'm just really excited. And today we're also buying the pushchair, so yay! I mean, I've got 8 weeks left to go, but I'm just so excited. I can't help it. So So, moving completely away from baby things, I'm going to move on to my knitting next, because I'm sure you're all dying to hear about that. progress with the pearl socks hasn't really gone anywhere. I'm still on the leg, and it's mainly because I was chatting to my very good friend Amy, who I've mentioned before, about doing toe-up socks, because I've never done toe-up socks, and she was saying, oh yeah, super duper easy, you know, shouldn't take you long, la la la. So I was like, oh yeah, I accept your challenge. And while I was texting Amy about toe-up socks, I cast on a pair of toe-up socks. Genius idea, by the way, yeah. So instead of working on the socks I already had on the needles, I cast on a new pair of socks and knit them in a day. Well, knit one of the socks in a day, which is just ridiculous. It should not be allowed. Yeah, it was a bit weird because I don't really like the afterthought heel, and I finished the afterthought heel at my knitting group in Newcastle at the knit studio on Saturday, and I was knitting it, and me and a bunch of the girls there were all staring at the heel and looking at it and going, I'm not sure, I don't know if I like it. And me and Diane have decided that we dislike afterthought heels and that we're going to have to find a different way to do heels on toe-up socks. So it looks like that day's worth of knitting that I spent was just completely wasted, because I'm going to have to pull out the entire heel and do it again. But steep learning curve, it's what we like. We do like to learn new techniques in our knitting. So yes. So the pearl sock has been kind of abandoned and left to the side. But it's okay. It's getting somewhere. I've got half the leg done. Surely I can finish that in about a day, right? It doesn't take long to do the rest of a leg. So that's my plan for today. I'm going to finish that sock off. But here's hoping I can actually do it. But yes, the reason that I was late in podcasting, for which I apologise, because I'm a bit rubbish, you know, is because on Monday I was superbly bored. Because sitting in the house on your own on maternity leave is not something that I would recommend to many people. Especially not myself, because I am the queen of being bored. And there's only so much pottering around you can do in your own flat when you're bored. And there's only so much cleaning you can do when you're bored. So I ended up downloading a few books onto my Kindle. And I decided it would be the Hunger Games trilogy. I was going to read A Casual Vacancy, the new J.K. Rowling book, but I decided I wanted something that was going to keep me entertained for more than a day, so I decided to download the Hunger Games trilogy onto my Kindle, and it entertained me for a day. No kidding, I am not even joking. It actually took me less than a day to read all three books, and I think my record for speed reading books was Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. I read it in 6 hours the day it came out. I went to the midnight launch of the book, came out with the book, and sat up until 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock in the morning reading it, which is silly, but also I was a bit like, oh, go me! Because, you know, there's nothing like self-gratification, and being a speed reader is one thing that I am proud of, because I do actually quite like to be able to be all like, oh, well, that only took me 3 hours. You know, I know it's a bit snotty, I know it's a bit silly, but I do love it. So yes, the reason that I was late in podcasting is because I decided to read The Hunger Games, which I got on Monday afternoon, downloaded on Monday afternoon, and finished yesterday afternoon, so one day later. And I was just like, I can't believe it's taken me that tiny amount of time to read an entire book trilogy. This is a bit silly, because I've read Harry Potter, I've read Game of Thrones, I've read Lord of the Rings, I've read the Inkheart trilogy, I've read the Northern Lights trilogy, which is one of my personal favourites, and I don't think I could ever read any of those in a day, you know? it would just be ridiculous. You couldn't do it, I don't think. So, for me to be able to do that was incredible. And I did kind of like it, but I can't exactly go over the top and say it was amazing and I've never read anything like it and it was mind-blowing. I think it was yet another one of these fantasy, dystopian, future-y type things where everyone goes a little bit crazy for it, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it's actually amazing. I think that ever since the Harry Potter books became like numero uno in the world, everyone's been going a little bit crazy for book series, fantasy book series, and I personally love a good fantasy book series. It's something that I really do enjoy. And on a scale of like, I don't know, Philip Pullman and Garth Nix and, you know, Terry Pratchett, it doesn't measure up for me. I like the characters. I think they're good. I think the story was quite interesting, but it's something that's been done before in a Battle Royale kind of a way. And when I saw Battle Royale, I cried. And I didn't cry at Hunger Games. Battle Royale made me very sad because in 3 hours, they had me invested in the characters and, like, rooting for people. And you're kind of, like, given this character that you're meant to root for in the Hunger Games trilogy. And she's likeable enough, but I just find her really shallow and really not self-aware. And I like my characters to have some self-awareness. So, for example, in the Philip Pullman books in the Northern Lights trilogy, Lyra Belacqua, who is the main character, is tempestuous, annoying, and mischievous and stupid sometimes, but she knows that, and you know that. But I think the way that Katniss Everdeen is presented to you is meant to be, it's meant to be more like a Twilight thing where, oh, she doesn't realise how good she is, and oh, she's the consummate survivor and things, and I just don't have any sympathy for characters like that. I mean, Harry Potter, that's a guy I got sympathy for, right? I really do. I started reading Harry Potter when I was 12 years old I was. So I've been with Harry Potter since the year it came out, basically. And it's something that I wouldn't say I invested myself in, but the characters became so real to me that, like, as they evolved and as I grew up with them, it just became something that was really important to me, that they survive and they be happy, because that's what a good book does, you know? It makes you want the characters to succeed and it makes you need their survival, especially in fantasy series where there's something like a war going on. And in Hunger Games there's a war going on at the end, and in Harry Potter there's a war going on, and in Northern Lights there's a war going on. And in Northern Lights trilogy, I needed those characters to be okay. I just could not imagine them not, because I'd invested myself in them. In Harry Potter, I broke my heart so many times reading those books. From the age of 12 onwards, I broke my own heart. I'm 26 years old. For 14 years, I have been breaking my own heart for these characters because they're real to me. But the characters in Hunger Games, although they're likeable enough, just do not have the reality. People don't think the way that these characters think or act the way these characters act. in my opinion. I mean, I might be wrong. Anyone's opinion is welcome, but to me, that's how it came across. Excuse my sniffing, I've got a bit of a blocked nose. But yes, it's something that annoyed me quite a lot, because in the genre of like teen fantasy book series, I am pretty well read, and I'd probably put this next to bloody Twilight as just rubbish, really. Well, Twilight's rubbish. Just the only thing I liked about Twilight was Edward Cullen. And that was because he's just so sardonic at times that it just makes me want to giggle. I haven't seen all the movies, I've read all the books, but yeah, it's one of those things where you like the characters, but the storylines are a bit shit. Sorry, didn't mean to swear. So yes, it's, yeah. So I'm kind of struggling with it. I was going to attempt to read Casual Vacancy today, but instead I've decided that I'm going to watch Marvel movies and be a big geek. So yes, that's my plan for the rest of the day. I'm sure you're all very excited for me. It's all this sitting around in the flat doing nothing. I've watched everything. It's driving me a little bit crazy. And there's only so much cleaning you can do before you actually just scrub every surface down to the wood. So I'm going to end up just sitting around watching rubbish TV series and movies and waiting for this little baby to arrive, hopefully. I don't know why I'm saying hopefully. There's no getting away from it now. It's definitely happening. But yeah, it'll be okay. On the TV side of things, episode 2 of Walking Dead aired in the UK this week, and it was awesome. I really, really loved it. Like, in a massive geeky kind of way. I just love the horror element of it. And yeah, I just thought that it was quite fun to watch, and I think the characters are brilliant. So yes, the stuff that happened in the last episode left me a little bit conflicted, because as I said last week, the third series carries on from the second series but leaves a 9-month gap or thereabouts. So there is this mammoth gap of 9 months that you have to fill in from character dialogue, almost. And I don't know what's happened, but the main character seems to have become a little bit evil, and I think he might be cracking up, and it's making me a little bit sad, because it's the guy's played by Andrew Lincoln, who, if you're not English and don't watch a lot of rubbish television in the late 2000s, well, early 2000s, then you might not know him, but I did. And I just, when I was young, I used to watch him in Teachers, and I just loved Teachers. It was one of my favourite TV series when I was a teenager growing up, because the people in it reminded me of the people who were teaching me at school. And it was just really funny, and they were always locked in the box having fags and things with the students, and I actually know teachers who used to do that at my school. So yeah, it was kind of one of those things I love. And he was also in Love Actually, and his little story in Love Actually broke my little heart again. It made me very, very sad. So seeing Andrew Lincoln going a little bit back to it just does not do it for me. I'm just like, no, Andrew Lincoln, you're lovely. Don't forget how lovely you are. Which is just silly, of course, because he's only play acting, you know. The other thing I watched this week was a movie called Never Let Me Go. It's based on a novel that I haven't read, and it just popped into my mind there because Andrew Lincoln's story in Love Actually was very, very sad. And the story that this movie is telling is absolutely heartbreaking. I was sobbing. And I mean, I do actually cry at movies quite a lot, and books. I have a tendency to cry at books. My God, did I cry at book 7 of Harry Potter. But yes, I don't consider myself particularly soppy, but there are certain things that do set me off, and the story of Never Let Me Go, just absolutely, it was just heart-wrenching. I just felt so bad for the characters, and so, like, oh my god, it just, honestly, I think I've said it was just honestly about 30 times now, but it was the kind of story where you kind of know where it's going to go, but God help you, you don't want it to go there, you know? You just don't want these characters to suffer the way that they do in the story. I am going to download the ebook and give it a read to see how it compares to the movie, so that I can go, oh yes, I would prefer the book to the movie, like that. Even though that's not particularly true of some books, Stardust being the main one. Because I read Stardust, then went to see the movie, and the movie is awesome! It's absolutely brilliant! I loved the book, but the movie is better! It just blows my head off how brilliant that movie is! I might watch Stardust, oh my god, that'd be so much fun! Because that movie is brilliant, and Claire Danes is hilarious, and Charlie Cox is just a little bit gorgeous. He really is. You just want to grab him and squish him, because he's so lovely. So yes, that might be something to watch today. I haven't yet seen the Hunger Games movie, so when that comes out on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever, I suppose I'll have to go out and find it and watch it to see how it compares to the books. But I think that it only covers the first book. I can't see them fitting three books into one movie in that way. So he's hoping that they do the first book justice, because I did think that the first book was the strongest storyline-wise and just character-wise as well, because it's when you get into the second and third books of that trilogy that you do get a little bit bored of the character. So he's hoping that they do her a little bit of justice, because I really enjoyed that book. The other two were good, but not amazing. So that's my plan for this week. Nothing interesting going on next week as far as I know, apart from the fact that I might become an auntie for the second time. So we'll just have to have our fingers crossed and hope for the best. Here's hoping that Katie can pop this little baby bean out before Lee's birthday, because that would be horrific if my nephew had the same birthday as my partner on the 14th of November, which would mean she'd gone completely the full way over. So, wishing my little sister luck for that one. I hope you've enjoyed listening. I've certainly enjoyed talking to you all, and any comments are freely welcome. It's been a pleasure, and I hope to hear from you very, very soon. Thanks for listening.